There is a growing chorus of states and conservatives calling for something known as a CONCON, or more properly, an Article 5 Constitutional Convention. I'm Ben Swan with your Truth in Media Moment, sponsored in part by BenSwan.com. Radio and TV hosts such as Mark Levin and Sean Hannity have been talking about this for some time. An Article 5 Constitutional Convention, which can be used to create new amendments to the U.S. Constitution. New amendments that could be used to force Washington to balance the U.S. budget, and would require responsiveness to the people. But is an Article 5 CONCON really the answer? Or is there a reason for Americans, who consider themselves to be liberty-minded and constitutionalists, to be very wary about this idea? I believe there is. I'll tell you why right after this. The destruction of constitutional liberties and endless foreign wars. The voice of the American people silenced while lawmakers simply enrich themselves and the political class. I'm Ben Swan. It isn't about left versus right. No. The real fight in America is liberty versus tyranny. At BenSwan.com, we are breaking the left-right paradigm. We know that the American two-party system is broken, and that to restore American liberty means to restore your rights as an individual. At BenSwan.com, we cover stories that the national media simply won't touch. From the National Defense Authorization Act and indefinite detention, to nullification, drone strikes, the militarization of police and crony capitalism. We're not afraid to stand up for the rights of the people. We are the face of new media. BenSwan.com, it's where humanity is greater than politics. The idea that Article 5 Constitutional Convention sure is exciting. But is it also dangerous? Well, it certainly could be. The real danger for liberty-minded Americans is that the current climate among lawmakers, both on the national and the state level, is a climate that has very little regard for personal, individual, and natural rights. Take, for instance, all that's gone on in our nation for the past 12 years since September 11, 2001. Fourth Amendment due process rights have been suspended by Congress. The executive branch claims it has the power to indefinitely detain U.S. citizens until the end of the war on terror. And speaking of war, Congress hasn't had a constitutionally declared war since World War II. The Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms is infringed more and more daily. So here's the big question. If an Article 5 Constitutional Convention is held, what will it do to force Congress and the President to obey the Constitution when they're not obeying it now? The other danger, what happens if new amendments are added to attempt to strip constitutional rights that currently exist? For stories that affect your liberty, you can find me online at BenSwan.com. That's BenSwan.com, where humanity is greater than politics.
If you're worried about your health and you're tired of the nasty side effects of harsh drugs or antibiotics, then look no further. Supernatural Silver is the answer. Supernatural Silver is a powerful immune system enhancer that can be used every day to help keep you healthy and well with none of those nasty side effects. It's extremely safe for use internally as well as topically. And Supernatural Silver is hundreds of times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver. It is perfect for use in the sinuses, eyes, ears, and on any wound or skin issue. Supernatural Silver is also extremely effective when taken orally and can help fight off bacteria, viruses, and mold that may be overwhelming your immune system. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com, SupernaturalSilver.com, and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off of your entire order, and give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity, Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Greetings once again. Thank you for listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. And I'm live for a change. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy, your host for the remainder of this hour, and you are listening to Datum Line. In our last Datum Line broadcast entitled Values Clarification Part 18, which I erroneously referred to as Part 17, so sorry, we continued our comparison of America's current moral standards as outlined in the Humanist Manifesto II, published in 1973. This, in contrast with the more biblical standards of our European forefathers up to about the early 1900s. For new listeners, this series continues our major premise that it's the prevailing religion of any society which ultimately determines their political and economic systems. Politics is simply the administration of a nation's predominant spiritual beliefs or religious tenets. This series follows on the heels of 77 messages on money, banking, and credit, in which our present-day centrally planned and regulated credit system was revealed as being totally foreign to the monetary system established by our forefathers at the Constitutional Convention of 1787 in Philadelphia, and the First Coinage Act of 1792, written to implement the monetary provisions of the Federal Constitution. Our purpose with respect to this present series is to show the underlying cause of America's radical shift from a decentralized free enterprise economy to a centralized credit system, and why we're not anxious to restore what we surrendered in pursuit of a socialist utopia. Despite all the libertarians, Tea Partiers, and other constitutionalists, modern-day Americans have no genuine interest in restoring the Constitution because they have no affinity for the more balanced Christian religion first brought to America by our Anglo-European ancestors. I say more balanced in that they willingly accepted all of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, not just the newer passages of the New Testament era. They believed in grace, or the forgiveness of sin, certainly, but they also accepted the standard by which sin is defined, that being the law as contained in commandments, statutes, and judgments, which the Lord gave to Israel. This broader understanding of the Bible created a closer identification with the people of old. Conversely, it could be said that today's popular interpretation of Scripture has separated us from those historical roots. This leads to another underlying premise for datum line messages, in that a people who wish to know where they're going, or are being taken, must first understand where they came from. Otherwise, they're without any basis for comparison. For instance, on the first day of school, my mother would mark the height of her children to show their rate of growth from 1 year to the next. Mine was recorded faithfully on a doorway molding between the kitchen and dining room. Statistical data are likewise kept by government agencies and others. allowing us to analyze the many changes that have occurred since our country's beginnings. From these, we find observable economic, political, and spiritual trends, which, for European Americans in particular, point to a very discouraging future. In our last message, we examined yet another extract from the Humanist Manifesto II, as opposed to what the Bible has to say about a subject, our most recent topic being that of miscegenation, or intermarriage. While it's commonly understood that today's popular acceptance of this new trend is just that, new, at the same time we acknowledge that our predecessors were of a different persuasion. With every new generation of American, our forefathers are increasingly viewed as racist bigots, as if by a derogatory slur, an intellectual argument can be made for cultural suicide. This is all the result of a well-orchestrated assault by modern education, media, and interfaith transnational theology, funded by humanist godmen who create virtually unlimited bank credit out of absolutely nothing. Listeners will recall that colonial Americans first officially encountered miscegenation when a Virginia settler named John Rolfe married Pocahontas in 1614. Now, that was 400 years ago. The response back in England put a halt to interracial marriage, however, although Colonel Byrd of Virginia said in a letter that he believed the only way to civilize the North American Indians was, quote, charitably to intermarry with them, end quote. Today's liberal theologian would endorse his opinion, certainly, along with the idea of homosexual marriage. Early last month, May 5, 2014, USA Today, on page 2A, headlined, quote, First Openly Gay Episcopal Bishop Divorces, end quote. When Bishop Gene Robinson of New Hampshire, age 66, divorced his husband, Mark Andrew, with whom he started this affair 25 years ago. In 2003, Robinson and the church made headlines when he was elected their first openly gay bishop. Meeting his bedfellow in 1987, their cohabitation began in 1988 with the blessing of then-Bishop Douglas Thuner. 10 years later, in Concord, New Hampshire, this civil ceremony was performed by Ronna Wise. And in 2010, their biblically perverse behavior was officially recognized when the Live Free or Die state of New Hampshire said it was perfectly legal. So what are the odds that America will repent of its love affair with bank credit and restore the use of lawful money as ordained in Scripture and the Constitution, while openly practicing the abominations of Sodom and Gomorrah? I'd say it's about zero. An immoral people will not or cannot adopt a moral economic foundation when they're committing moral suicide, as biblically defined. To the opposing religious camps, America's direction is crystal clear. For the humanist, it's a future of unbridled liberty, equality, and fraternity. For a Bible-believing Christian, it's a road to poverty, chaos, slavery, and death. Having grown up in a world of false paradigms, it's easy to understand why left-of-center atheists are seemingly opposed by right-of-center libertarians, who believe their alleged right-wing politics can defeat a left-wing religion, to which they both subscribe. Give it some thought, and you'll probably conclude that these opposing teams learn the same religion in the same place they learn to parrot the Marxist mantra about separation of church and state, without realizing that there is no separation of religion and state. We can sympathize with their grief over modern theology, but God has had a controversy with the preachers more than once, according to the Bible. Today is no exception. And if you've ever wondered how God could possibly embrace modern religion, then you should be pleased to know that, according to Scripture, He doesn't. In today's message, we'll pick up where we left off on the subject of intermarriage, as told from the Word of God, which makes no attempt to placate the politically correct view propagated with great intensity over the last few decades. The Bible and the law written on the heart of God's people Israel set the tone for Anglo-European beliefs concerning this and other subjects. If this sounds surprising, It's because our pulpits have been silent for a long time, creating the malicious impression that your American ancestors were nothing more than hateful bigots. Your guilt-ridden conscience might prefer to believe this notion, but I think your ancestors deserve a little more consideration. They might prefer someone who's better qualified to speak on their behalf, of course, but I'm going to make the effort nonetheless in today's message, which we're going to entitle Values Clarification, Part 19. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy. You're listening to Datumline, and I hope you join me on the other side of this break, and we'll continue the subject of miscegenation.
If you're worried about your health and you're tired of the nasty side effects of harsh drugs or antibiotics, then look no further. Supernatural Silver is the answer. Supernatural Silver is a powerful immune system enhancer that can be used every day to help keep you healthy and well with none of those nasty side effects. It's extremely safe for use internally as well as topically. And Supernatural Silver is hundreds of times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver. It is perfect for use in the sinuses, eyes, ears, and on any wound or skin issue. Supernatural Silver is also extremely effective when taken orally and can help fight off bacteria, viruses, and mold that may be overwhelming your immune system. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com, SupernaturalSilver.com, and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off of your entire order, and give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Whew, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity, Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
It's time to utilize your Second Amendment right. No better way than at Knob Creek Gun Range. Check out the large variety with over 3,000 guns in stock. Also, reloading supplies, ammunition, and low admission. Only $10 per person per day. $5 for children 12 and under. And 50% off for active duty and retired military with valid ID. If you don't own any firearms, no problem. You can rent one of ours. Knob Creek Gun Range supplies all your shooting needs. Go to KnobCreekRange.com for more information. Range memberships are available. Visit KnobCreekRange.com today.
Greetings and welcome back to this segment of Datumline, today's message, Values Clarification, Part 19. And again, I apologize, the number 18 message, I think I entitled it incorrectly, number 17. So you see, I'm fallible. Please forgive me. During our last Datumline broadcast, we continued to highlight more biblical injunctions against intermarriage, or the word is actually miscegenation, for the purpose of showing why our English-European ancestors held a different point of view on this subject, and on other subjects, for that matter. Having been subjected to a massive barrage of humanist opinion over the last few decades makes it difficult for us to understand our colonial ancestors, along with the fact that most of us are not familiar with the Bible and the beliefs which it inculcated among our ancestors. Now, for the benefit of new listeners, let's again take a brief excerpt from the Humanist Manifesto, and this time from Principle Number 11, which we had quoted in a previous message, wherein they said, in part, quote, "The principle of moral equality," "must be furthered through elimination of all discrimination based upon race, religion, sex, age, or national origin." Imagine having moral equality, but you're going to ignore the various religions which may have different moral persuasions. Well, we addressed this subject in our last message, reminding listeners how the patriarch Abraham told his eldest servant to fetch a wife for his son Isaac. And you can read about that in Genesis chapter 24. But he was not to look for her among the Canaanites. Now, that was a generic name used to include the Amorites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Moabites, the Anakims, the Ammonites, the Philistines, the Zidonians, and other national groups living in that part of the world. Even the best possible maiden they had to offer Isaac was categorically off limits. Later, in Genesis chapter 28, Isaac, the son of God's promise to Abraham, perpetuated this discriminatory process by charging his son, now that would be Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel by an angel of the Lord, the word Israel meaning prince ruling with God, to likewise avoid marital contact with those nationalities in their entirety, not just as individuals based on the content of their character. Because we've been preconditioned from birth to accept an integrated global community, these and other scriptures on the subject of intermarriage will generate some very serious emotional discomfort, especially if our reading and understanding of the Bible is not according to proper biblical context. Meanwhile, the hateful smear campaign about racism is intended to make European Americans squirm and run for cover in this, our land of constitutional free speech. In a previous message, we learned from Noah Webster's American Dictionary of the English Language, published in 1828, that to discriminate or carefully choose between this or that was thought to be a worthy trait portrayed in a most favorable light. More recently, however, this word has been given a derogatory emphasis, such as Random House College Dictionary for 1982, which probably doesn't sound too recent for some of you. But nevertheless, the first word, or definition, I should say, for the word discriminate was, quote, "to make a distinction in favor of or against a person or thing on a categorical basis rather than according to actual merit," end quote. Well, judging people by the color of their skin instead of the content of their character would be a categorical distinction rather than based on individual merit. Of course, this presupposes that no difference or merit can be detected in the emotional, spiritual, intellectual, physical, or behavioral characteristics between different racial, ethnic, or national groups. Laboring under a heavy mantle of guilt for all of the alleged wrongs perpetrated by whites against non-white world, European Americans now deny that they can perceive any difference whatsoever between nationalities, judging everyone on the basis of individual merit, just as we've been instructed. Not everybody on the planet, however, has been so thoroughly intimidated, with at least one Oriental group acknowledging, among themselves, a few years ago at least, their desire to avoid sitting next to white people on crowded airliners, for example, due to the fact that they perceive an offensive odor. come to think of it, I don't like how some of us smell either. But since TSA began probing airline passengers before flight time, no one has had to sit next to me. Could there possibly be any characteristics other than skin color or smell by which to distinguish between social groups? Well, women comprise a distinct social group, exhibiting physical traits that differ from men, most of whom are still pleased with God's handiwork in that department. To say that women often manifest other emotional or physical traits different from men is to declare the obvious. But, as victims of systematic mind control, we're being cunningly coerced into denying the obvious. Yes, there are differences in the content of individual character within each cultural group. But there are also differences that characterize each and every cultural group. Otherwise, there would be no discernible groups. Duh! We'd all be stuck with international cuisine, defined by international corporations like McDonald's or KFC. And at the rate we're going, the world will soon look like one mediocre, third world, homogenized slum development, serviced by instant pop-up franchise clones, built from Legos. Thank God for racist, hole-in-the-wall restaurants, which still offer a tasty choice in that biodegradable stuff we call food. Oh, yes. And the second definition for the word discriminate provided by Random House for 1982 was, quote, to note or observe a difference, to distinguish accurately, end quote. So what if it turns out to be accurate to observe that a difference exists between national groups and the sexes on a categorical basis? Well, according to Random House, I'm not sure, since definition number one for discriminate meant to make a distinction on a categorical basis, rather than according to actual merit. But how could we identify ourselves by racial, ethnic, or national category if there was no basis by which to merit a categorical distinction? Are we then to presuppose that categorical differences are devoid of meritorious considerations? That there is no merit in being a woman, for example? If Bishop Gene Robinson of New Hampshire had chosen a woman for his wife instead of a man for his husband, she might have given him children. You see, there's actually merit in choosing a woman for your wife rather than a man, which is why God went to the trouble of creating women. Is there any merit in considering a black basketball player for your professional team? Well, you might think so if you notice the racial composition of our basketball teams and how well they play. Is there any merit in giving an interview for airline captain or an executive pilot to a white guy? You might think so if you ever notice the general composition of our country's flight deck crew members. Of course, howls of protest ensue whenever you suggest, whoops, here's a break. Gosh, this one caught me by surprise, Craig. Okay, this is Dad Online, Values Clarification, Part 19, and I'm Bruce G. McCarthy.
I'm Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America, and I want to invite you to join the Second Amendment movement with Gun Owners of America, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Take action by becoming a GOA member today by going to gunowners.org. Gun Owners members receive the GOA newsletter, fact sheets, alerts, certificates, and more. But there's more to joining GOA than just a list of member benefits. The united voice of GOA members has been successful in defeating restrictive legislation designed to disarm our population. GOA has helped get strong constitutional members of Congress like Senator Ted Cruz elected. And with your help, GOA will continue to successfully defend the rights of gun owners in the courts. Participate in our efforts to restore and preserve the nation's right to keep and bear arms. All contributions to our lobbying efforts are used exclusively to support or oppose firearms legislation. Join online at gunowners.org.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
If you're worried about your health and you're tired of the nasty side effects of harsh drugs or antibiotics, then look no further. Supernatural Silver is the answer. Supernatural Silver is a powerful immune system enhancer that can be used every day to help keep you healthy and well with none of those nasty side effects. It's extremely safe for use internally as well as topically. And Supernatural Silver is hundreds of times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver. It is perfect for use in the sinuses, eyes, ears, and on any wound or skin issue. Supernatural Silver is also extremely effective when taken orally and can help fight off bacteria, viruses, and mold that may be overwhelming your immune system. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com. And use the promo code Silver2014 for 20% off of your entire order. And give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. Escapeharassment.com.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
Welcome back to this half of this installment of Datum Line, Values Clarification, Part 19. You know, whenever you suggest that white guys might be more qualified to do something, anything, better than non-whites, you will hear howls of protest. This, we are emphatically told, is racism. After all, we're all the same. There's absolutely no difference, except when non-whites are better. And whites will generally agree when that's really the case. However, if you had to choose between living under the Constitution and free enterprise system of the United States, created by white guys, which we no longer do, by the way, but it's fun to think about, or the political economy of Pakistan, India, Tibet, Uganda, Vietnam, South Africa, China, Indonesia, Mali, Sierra Leone, or Haiti, which would it be? Racist? Our children have accepted the political philosophies of Marx and Mao Zedong because they've been indoctrinated in the humanist religion that begets centralized socialist tyrannies. And for the same reason, they have no spiritual defense against global amalgamation and the ultimate decimation of their nationality and culture. Which is fine, if that's what the God of creation has ordained for them and the rest of humanity. It would seem, however, that the Bible reveals another point of view. Now, whether anyone on the World Wide Web chooses to embrace this view, the fact is, there was a time when a certain people, even colonial Americans, heard the voice of their Old and New Testament shepherd, knowing intuitively that he always spoke the truth. Returning once more to the Humanist Manifesto 2 for a little more background for our new listeners, an extract we'll take from principle number 11 again. Quote, "We envision an integrated community where people have a maximum opportunity for free and voluntary association," end quote. Well, that sounds good, unless you believe in the right to abstain from being forcibly integrated, as with the busing of our children. From principle number 12 of the Humanist Manifesto 2, they went on to say, quote, in part, "We deplore the division of humankind on nationalistic grounds," end quote. But you know, humankind went to a lot of trouble dividing themselves on nationalistic grounds, just as God intended when he changed our language at the Tower of Babel several thousand years ago, so as to divide us, as recorded in Genesis chapter 11. Humanists are busy unifying what God intended to separate, which is why their program of global government is causing so much strife. In principle number 12, continue, quote, "Thus, we look to the development of a system of world law and a world order based upon transnational federal government," end quote. Well, if the federal government in Washington is unresponsive to your wishes now, wait and see how cruel a global government will be when it begins to plunder your culture in earnest to satisfy their material lust. You see, there are people out there who see your prosperity as built on third world slave labor, a notion you may not agree with. Any wrongdoing by major corporations flying the white man's flag is coming home to roost, like it or not. We ended our last message at 1 Kings chapter 11 regarding King Solomon's weakness for alien or foreign women, a gross understatement with regards to 700 wives and 300 concubines. That's lust spelled with a capital L. Then there's Jezebel, the wicked wife of King Ahab. What may have contributed to her unique wickedness was that Jezebel descended from the Sidonians, or the Zidonians. It's spelled both with an S or with a Z. Now, who are they? Well, they were a people who inhabited the Canaanite or Phoenician city of Sidon, or Zidon, spoken of in Joshua chapter 13. One of their principal sources of revenue was dealing in slaves. And, as we find in Joel chapter 3, the Zidonians, or Sidonians, sold some of the Israelites from Judah and its capital city of Jerusalem to the Greeks, who must have had an eye for good slaves with a Christian work ethic. This should explain why the apostles, like Paul, ministered so fervently to, lo and behold, Greek-speaking Israelites scattered among the Grecians. Remember in John chapter 7, where Jesus told the chief priests and Pharisees at verse 34, "Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come." In verse 35, "Then said the Jews," that being the Judeans or the Judahites, "among themselves, whither will he go that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles?" Now, that's a confusing passage, isn't it? Will he go to the dispersed? Who's that? Well, that word was the Greek word diaspora, which refers to Israel and dispersion. So will he go to the dispersed, or the Israelites, among the Gentiles? Now, those Gentiles are number 1672 in Strong's. It's the word Hellene, or Grecian. So these are the non-Israelites. And yet he's going to teach the Gentiles? Will he go unto the dispersed, that's the Israelites, among the Gentiles, being the non-Israelites, and teach the Gentiles? Well, those Gentiles, the second one, would be the dispersed, in other words, the Israelites. Both of those words are the word Hellene, or Grecian, or Greek-speaking people. Now, the Latin word Gentiles is usually translated from the Greek word in the New Testament from the word ethnos, which is number 1484 in Strong's. But in this verse, it's Hellene, meaning Greeks or Greek-speaking people, some of whom were our Israelite ancestors in dispersion. But let's get back to King Ahab's wife, Jezebel, who was a Sidonian. And with regards to that, we'll turn to 1 Kings in chapter 16. 1 Kings in chapter 16, we'll start at verse 29. And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, that's the southern kingdom now, Ahab, the son of Omri, or began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. Now, Israel was the northern kingdom. You have two kingdoms that are divided, and you have two kings who are ruling simultaneously. We have Asa in the south, and we have Ahab in the north. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria. Now, that was the capital city of the northern kingdom. Jerusalem was the capital city of the southern kingdom. 22 years. Verse 30. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam. Now, Jeroboam was the son of Nebat. He's the one who separated from Rehoboam. Rehoboam was the son of Solomon, who reigned over the southern kingdom at first, when it first separated. That he took to wife Jezebel. Who did? Ahab took Jezebel to wife, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Now, what's a grove? Well, that's the Hebrew word Asherah. It's number 842 in Strong's. The word Asherah, or, according to Strong's, could also have been the word Astarte, is a Phoenician goddess, also an image of the same. So there was evidently a connection between pagan or heathen idols and trees, which served as the first outdoor temples, hence the word groves. Okay? Now, if we turn to Joel chapter 3, hopefully before we get to the second or this next break, we'll read the first six verses of Joel concerning these Zidonians and the fact that they were kidnappers or men stealers. Joel chapter 3, verse 1, "For behold, in those days and in that time, when I, God, shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people," that being Israel, "and for my heritage, Israel, whom they," that's the non-Israelites, "scattered among the nations and parted my land. And they have cast lots for my people." Who are they? Well, we're going to find out in a moment. "And have given a boy for a harlot, and sold a girl for wine, that they might drink." Okay, so these are kidnappers here, these people. "Yea, and what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon, and all the coasts of Palestine?" Well, there's our music. Kind of caught up on me again. Well, this is Datum Line. Another break. Values Clarification, Part 19.
If you're worried about your health and you're tired of the nasty side effects of harsh drugs or antibiotics, then look no further. Supernatural Silver is the answer. Supernatural Silver is a powerful immune system enhancer that can be used every day to help keep you healthy and well with none of those nasty side effects. It's extremely safe for use internally as well as topically. And Supernatural Silver is hundreds of times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver. It is perfect for use in the sinuses, eyes, ears, and on any wound or skin issue. Supernatural Silver is also extremely effective when taken orally. and can help fight off bacteria, viruses, and mold that may be overwhelming your immune system. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com, SupernaturalSilver.com, and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off of your entire order. And give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey neighbor, what are you doing digging? You had a heart attack last year.
Oh, I know. I was told no more hard labor.
Then why are you digging?
Well, I've been taking Extendovite. It's been approved to help my heart.
Extendovite? Is that a new drug?
No, not a drug. It's more like an herbal combination made from garlic and cayenne.
Herbal? How can that help?
Well, actually, we've taken herbs for thousands of years, and Extendovite is doing the job for me.
Does your doctor know about Extendovite?
Yeah, my doctor knows, and he said it seems to be working for you, so don't stop taking it. I feel great taking Extendovite. I don't want to stop.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Herbal Healer Academy presents its spring specials. All sizes of our 500 parts per million colloidal silver are on sale, along with products to help you lose weight, like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia, Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic. That's not all. Anti-Parasite Intestinal Freedom, Wormwood Plus Complex, Stevia Liquid Sweetener, and the Super Enzymes are on sale. Visit HerbalHealer.com to order yours. Request our free 128-page catalog. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time. HerbalHealer.com.
How important is the air you breathe? Our air purifiers produce activated oxygen, called Aerin. Activated oxygen is the natural enemy of odors, pollutants, and many other harmful substances, yet it's completely safe. Our powerful air purifiers unleash the power of a thunderstorm, destroying pollutants in the air we breathe. It destroys many viruses, bacteria, and fungi, kills molds, and oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases. It removes smoke, pollen, and pet odors. Made with quality stainless steel, our portable air purifiers come with a manufacturer's 4-year warranty. If you haven't experienced the Aerin process of fresh, clean air, then call us today and receive 10% off your order. 877-605-9200. Again, that's 877-605-9200. Time for you to breathe clearly again. 877-605-9200.
Welcome back to the final segment of this installment of Datum Line, Values Clarification, Part 19. We're in Joel Chapter 3, and I'm going to pick up at verse 4 with regards to identifying these people who God called Zidonians. Yea, and what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon, and all the coasts of Palestine? Will ye render me a recompense? And if ye recompense me, swiftly and speedily will I return your recompense upon your own head. So God has a controversy with these people. Why? Verse 5, because ye have taken my silver and my gold. I didn't think God liked gold and silver. That's what some people say. And have carried into your temples my goodly pleasant things. Verse 6, the children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have ye sold unto the Grecians, that she might remove them far from their border. We'll stop there. So you see, the Zidonians were slave traders, and Jezebel was a descendant of these people. Now, you can have slave traders, of course, among all nationalities. In fact, it looks as though there were some white folk who were slave traders. That's an interesting story. We may get into that a little bit later on in this series. Who knows? But it makes you wonder, if putting non-European strangers in the White House, Congress, and our courts might be a cause for national curses. Theologians will disagree, of course, believing as they do that no aliens or strangers exist any longer to be avoided. I wonder why things changed despite a much larger global population. Now the more we mix it up, say the preachers, the better we conform to the perfect will of God. That's their idea of it anyway. Oh, yes, and with regards to these slave traders, these Zidonians, that's man-stealing. And the Bible speaks ill of man-stealing. In Exodus chapter 21, verse 16, for example, the law says, "And he that stealeth a man," now that man is an Ish, not an Adam, that's an Ish man, which is a very generic term. It can be translated variously as another, any man, each, every one, fellow, him, man, mankind, people, person, whosoever, and whoso, you know. So it's a broad meaning for that word man. But anyway, he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. Now, maybe if we had been a little bit more mindful of that when the black Africans were being purchased, you know, abducted from their African homeland and brought over here, we might have looked at this man-stealing thing a little bit more seriously. Maybe we might not have done that. Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 7, it says, "If a man," that's also the word ish there, number 376 in Strong's, "be found stealing any of his brethren of the children of Israel, and maketh merchandise of him, or selleth him, then that thief shall die, and thou shalt put evil away from among you." Now that's a more specific command. That's the stealing of an Israelite or brethren. But it still makes you wonder, with regards to the strangers that we have now in the White House, Congress, and our courts. And we're not supposed to do that. How do we know that? Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 17, we've been here before, verse 14, Deuteronomy 17, verse 14 and 15, "When thou, Israel, art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee," and you see some of our people believe that God gave America to our people, "and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein," and we've been doing that, "and shalt say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose, one from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger," that's a Nocturne stranger, number 5337 in Strong's, "over thee, which is not thy brother." God has a controversy with Israel putting strangers over them in political office. Now, God certainly didn't praise our ancient forefathers for their righteous behavior, but he promised to drive out nations mightier than they and to give those lands to Israel because of the far greater wickedness of the native populations. Colonial Americans, you see, might have believed that biblical history was being repeated, with whom the writer of America's Declaration of Independence called the merciless Indian savages. Yes, those are the words used in the Declaration of Independence. If you haven't read it recently, you'll find the words, quote, "the merciless Indian savages," end quote. Now, we're just beginning to see what manner of wickedness alien cultures have to teach us through the marvels of Western inventions like the printing press, television, and the Internet. It's in your face, day in and day out. But many would say, surely it's nothing to which God would have us object, at least according to modern mainstream religion. But if God's judgments were nigh at hand, what would he be doing to get our attention? Well, maybe he'd send a drought, or maybe a string of tornadoes, hurricanes, maybe earthquakes. These are some of the tools in his divine arsenal, which are easy to ignore if we don't read the book, or can't imagine that a God who atheists say is dead could possibly be alive and even speaking to us. But you'll read through the Bible. I don't have to read it through once. And you'll see that natural disasters are things that God sends as divine punishments. Now, do we honestly expect God to send us an email or a text message? Are we looking for his op-ed column in the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal? Just as a court speaks through its journal, So God speaks to his people Israel through his written word, and that's the Bible. But if we don't read it, we won't know. So what we're going to do, and we won't have time in this broadcast, I can see, is we're going to be going to the book of Ezra in our next broadcast, and we will open up the subject of the interracial or international, if you will, marriage or marriages, which Israel had consummated and which brought a great deal of distress. In fact, they put away their wives and the children that they begat from those relationships. I guess we can put a little background on the book of Ezra, though, in the time that we have remaining. I think we have some time remaining. The Israelites of the southern kingdom of Judea, these would be the Judahites, the Benjamites, and Levites, were collectively known as Judeans. They had been defeated in a final conflict around 586 B.C. by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, who enslaved and deported the survivors. Later, under another king by the name of Cyrus, he was king of Persia, a decree authorized them to return and rebuild the city of Jerusalem, which was a rather slow process because of a few bureaucratic delays that were installed there. And it was not completed until a subsequent king by the name of Artaxerxes I. Those who chose to return to Jerusalem, according to the prophet Nehemiah in chapter 7, numbered approximately 50,000 people. However, in the usual scheme of things, it being a four-month hike from Babylon to Jerusalem, the menfolk most likely outnumbered the women. So eventually, since women get prettier at closing time, the forbidden ladies who lived nearby were looking especially good. And a new trend of mixed marriages resulted, which became the subject of grave concern, which will bring us to Ezra chapter 9. You can read that, I suppose, between now and the next broadcast. That'll be the entire chapter, verses 1 through 15. And you can see where the Israelites put away their wives, and it was a cause of great distress. Now, this would be an entire chapter dealing with the subject, which is predicated upon commandments that we find in the book of Exodus and the book of Deuteronomy with regards to not mixing it up, if you will, with these people. And you'll find that some of the same people who Israel was forbidden to marry were the people that they ultimately did marry. And why? Well, because it was an unnatural situation. They had returned to Jerusalem, and they didn't bring a lot of women folk with them. And so over time, like I say, the strange women got prettier at closing time. Now, it won't be my intention to go into overkill on the subject, but we're going to be looking at these passages and highlighting a few more as well to show how easily our colonial ancestors would have concluded the seriousness of marrying unrelated alien or strange people without a clear directive from God to do so. Anyway, this is the end of this broadcast. I hope this has been of interest to you. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy, and you have been listening to Datum Line. Have a good day.